on fixing the recording, even though it may seem a little self-serving, but when you ever have the misfortune, I mean COVID, to speak Barabim, so if your wife can't be here, you have to record it. Ayin Yod Say Shalom, page 32, Sif Katan Yud Beis, note 43. Those of you under 60 are wondering, what on earth is this fellow doing here? Those of you over 60 are surely wondering what this fellow is doing here, because you know me. What should I say? Ribeiro called me up. He said, you'll speak to a few bachrim. I'm sorry, Rosh Yeshiva, please forgive me. He said, a few bachrim? The person who was supposed to speak had a heart attack, and his wife broke a limb, so I was partially afraid to say no. So here I am. They assumed Rav Kalevsky and Rav Nosson Shlita, should live and be well, were my shadchans. I probably have plenty of stories about Rav Kalevsky, but I don't. There's just one story about a Schweitzer running up to me after the chuppah and giving me a kiss, but I'm not going to talk about that. I came to yeshiva in Tovshin Lamed, Chanukah Tovshin Lamed, 1969. There was no beautiful Beis Medrash. There was no Mechina Beis Medrash. There was the educational building. And the educational building was three floors. The top floor was the Yeshiva Beis Medrash. And the bottom floor, what they called the plan, was the Mechina Beis Medrash. If I remember correctly, it's a long time ago. My memory is not so good. And you'll have to be moichumi. I left in 1982. To me, the Rosh Yeshiva is Rav Ruderman. It's always hard for me. I get mixed up. Rav Kalevsky was Rav Kalevsky. Rav Weinberg was Rav Weinberg, the present Rosh Yeshiva. But to me, if I talk, it comes out. It's just the Rosh Yeshiva is the Rosh Yeshiva. I came from Telz Yeshiva. Before that, I was in Sayreville, New Jersey. And I came Chanukah, and I was sitting in the left-hand corner in the back of the Beis Medrash. On the third floor, we learned the Dharm. And suddenly, I heard thunder. The room started to shake. I see everybody is standing. I jumped to my feet. What's wrong? What's happening? What's happening? The Rosh Yeshiva came in. I said, yes, so? I came from Telz. If the Rosh Yeshiva, she gave a little bump. And Rosh Yeshiva came. Well, what's wrong? Nothing. Rosh Yeshiva came in. Why is everybody still standing? He's talking to someone. Yeah. Well, so that people continue to learn. And they waited till Rosh Yeshiva went to his seat. We sat down and people sat down. And if he stood up to walk out, then everybody got up. I never saw anything like it in my life. The Rosh Yeshiva, he knew everything. He knew everything. There's a fellow, Reb David Silverman, used to take care of him. And he was afraid towards the end of his life. He was forgetting his learning. So he said, I want you to test me. He pulls out a little sefer, Ambud de Sefri. Rosh Yeshiva starts to say it. I remember once, Rav Shraga told me there was a young man here about Shuva from Temple University, a brilliant fellow, and he was having certain issues. He came to talk to Rav Shraga, like one or two people have been known to do, and he was mechazik him. He told him, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva had such a problem. The Rosh Yeshiva was like that. And he walked out mechazik. He turned to me and said, can you imagine? I compared him to the Rosh Yeshiva, and that was in the Chometim. How on earth could a person compare himself to Rosh Yeshiva? Rav David was from Kelm. He was the semel of Yerush Shemayim. Well, you could know, having Rosh Yeshiva, having Rav David, having Weinberg, it was like the later Prok of Mesil Shisharm. I used to teach Mesil Shisharm for a number of years. I got to the end of Perek Yud Aleph, and I thought to myself, what am I going to go Viter for? Isn't it silly? We'll go back to the beginning, start again. We're not holding anywhere. So I didn't know what to do. I thought maybe we should go weiter. So I picked up a newspaper that week. They had a hesped on Rav Shmuel Brudny's atzal, and they asked him this shaila. And he said, go weiter. You have to know what there is. You have to know what could be at the end of the line, what a human being could achieve. That's what the Rosh Yeshiva, that's what Rav Dov and Rav Weinberg were. You're not going to say like Rav Shiva. You're not going to daven like Rav Dov. But then, I had another thing happen to me when I came. I see people talking and learning, and they had very funny nuances. They made funny gestures with their hands. They made certain emphasis as they talked. And I was wondering, what is that all about? And the next year, I went to Rafkovsky's shir. And I saw the most amazing thing. Here's a man, as Rashiv pointed out, grew up in America, born in St. Louis, learned in Skokie, came to Terev HaDaas, learned by Reb Shlaima, learned by Reb Reuven Beis Medrash Elyon, and look at him. Look at him. He loved to learn. It wasn't like everybody loves to learn. He got a physical pleasure out of it. You could see him licking his lips when he said his svara. His eyes would pop out of his head when he would learn. You breathe the excitement. There was nothing like it. It was everything. It was so enjoyable. It was such a simple achaim in the learning. It was incredible. Everybody, not Reb Tzvi. Reb Tzvi was got a in this year that year when I came, but I don't remember him doing the nuances. He doesn't do that. But others followed suit. The Murdika, love of learning. He was Lamala min Azman, to say it, to put it mildly. In my days, we didn't get lunch a lot of times. In the later years, they used to put aside lunch for Rabbi Kalevsky's class. But it wasn't like that. It didn't matter. He was learning. It was like we wouldn't stop in the middle of ice cream cone. It was the middle of learning. I remember once on a Tainus, it was going on, and we're shworking the desks and scraping our feet. He turns to the oil and he says, "What are you worried about? There's no lunch today." So someone said, "We're worried about supper." Me at strike. You know, Klesky had a sense of humor. He wasn't a bubbly, joking fellow. He's an American. He never spoke to us about baseball. He never spoke to us about Americana Zachen. But we all felt he understood. We all felt it sounds a little silly, but unfortunately, in today's world, it's a compliment. He was normal. He was a normal person. You could talk to him. He would talk to you. His power of concentration was in Mishunadik. There could be a line of 20 guys waiting to talk to him, second Seder, and he's talking to this fellow. It was like nobody else in the world existed. He was completely focused on what you were saying. And it didn't matter. It could be 100 guys there. It didn't matter. Right now he's talking to you. And he's listening to you. There was no such thing, kemat. I don't remember the answering, boom. He would stand there and he would think. He'd take out one of those things that we don't talk about anymore. He'd pull it in. He'd throw it out. And he thought about what you were saying. He gave you that regard that what you're saying may have substance or does have substance. And he gave you the respect that what you're saying is important and I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to try and answer you to the best of my ability. He wanted to be clear. He wanted perfect clarity. He'd say again, am I making myself clear? Am I making myself clear? In my days, he said this year in Yiddish, but if you asked in English, he answered you in English, and you could get the Masu Matan was fine, even those of us who were not bilingual. Ava Peking, we could get what he wanted. He had a merge, what is it, concentration, avas ha-Torah, enjoyment of Torah. He cared about people. He cared about one of his daughters-in-law told me that she would talk to him about what kind of curtains to get, he would ask her what she's doing with making the decor of designing the inside of the house, and he listened and he contributed. He talked to each person according to what they could relate to. I don't know what an Azkara is. Rabbaro asked me to come and speak about Rav Kalevsky. I don't know. We're not Hasidish. We're not sitting down telling Maisa Lechet Tish. The point is, what do you get from him? Rav Kalevsky left a tremendous legacy, as Rav Shiva pointed out, of Yigian learning, it's so inadequate. If you never saw him, I remember I was in Lakewood. See, he would come to Lakewood. They mobbed him. They mobbed him. They couldn't get enough of him. So you have to know what you have. You come from a place where there's those who were the greatest of the great, that you just look at them as a semel. Then there were those that you felt, I'm not going to be him, but I could be something like that. You, Baruch Hashem, have examples all over you. You look at your Abayim. One of the greatest regrets I have in my life is that I didn't nutzayis Rav Kalevsky enough, that it didn't take advantage of opportunities. To be honest, it's painful even to think about it right now. What should I tell you? I don't remember the Gemara, but there's a Gemara where Rebbe was apparently very sensitive, and someone had a bad smell coming out of their breath, and he asked that person to leave, and Rabbi Chia left. And Rebbe's son said to me, "Hey, well, you're the one who was mavazim my father." He said, "No, it wasn't me, somebody else." And he learned it from, I don't remember who, from Meir maybe. We learned it from Chaya Magu, learned it from Habakkuk. And they asked the Shiloh, why didn't he learn it from Habakkuk? Because it's hard to learn from somebody that distant away. You could learn from somebody who you could relate to. Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva has continued in the way it was when I was here. The Abayim it was a chiddush in those days. Rav Kalevsky's house, for every Friday night, people went over, right? You don't find that in every other yeshiva. You don't find it. Yeah, Hanukkah time, Purim time, Shavuos time. But every Friday night, to come over to the Rebbe's house, it was an incredible privilege. And I'm sure that they continued it here in the yeshiva now, because that's what the yeshiva is. The yeshiva was made by Rav Shiva Zatzal, Rav Weinberg, Rav Kalevsky in his way. They all made it this wonderful place, this wonderful Makom Torah, to be what it is. You should be zeichet to continue in their ways, to continue to grow, to steig in Avedas Hashem, in Ahavas HaTorah, and in Beinodim L'Chaveri.